everyone. Namaste. This is Sanya Singhania and welcome to my podcast. I hope you all are doing well, and if you are not, there's an invitation to give yourself some space to breathe, because fortunately the breath is always there for us and it is always there to support us and hold us. All we really need is a reminder every now and then. When it comes to healing, you know that it is so difficult sometimes to find the right way, the right path, the right doctor, the right treatment, and to just hit the right spot on diagnosis, which could prove all our pathetic and life-consuming symptoms that you're going through. There are doctors and nutritionists and health coaches we have so much respect in our heart for. But unfortunately, sometimes they fail to understand what we are going through, and committing a mistake in diagnosis is human, of course, but only we as sufferers can understand how painful and costly it can become to loop into the same unfaithful treatments again and again and again. If you are seeking for quick fixes to your pain and suffering, an overnight solution to your health problems, I'm sorry, but you should probably skip this podcast. But if you are someone who is tired of taking painkillers and band-aid mechanisms to heal and now want a permanent solution to your issues, I am so happy to say that this podcast is going to be one of your favorites. If you're new to this podcast, first things first, welcome. This podcast is all about educating my audience about basic information about health and nutrition and helping them to make conscious decisions about every bite, every action that they take towards themselves. For I cannot stress enough on how every single thing ends up shaping what your health is going to be in the future. Industrialization of food industry has stolen our authenticity and behavior towards how we look at food and how we feel about food. It saddens me to see people getting into the influence of diet cultures, ruining their relationship with something that forms the very basic need of human survival. And the very absence of knowledge and common sense that has been swept off our brains by the junk food industry. My mission is to empower you to take control of it and have a sense of balance between taste and nutrition. This podcast does not give any medical advice. It is purely for educational and awareness purposes. If you do take up advice from this podcast, I advise you to go and check it up with your health practitioner. And in no sense, we are here to disrespect anybody's profession. So coming back to what I was talking about, when it comes to permanent solutions, we think of healing from the inside out. It's like pulling a plant completely off its roots. And when I think of the word root, I immediately think of root cause healing, because it's honestly one of my favorite words. Root cause healing is when your doctor, nutritionist, and health coach work unanimously to help you take you off your condition completely and help you maintain and balance it ahead in such a way that you won't fall into that dark hole of illness again. Finding the right healers for you can become so tough, but it's not impossible. Believe me that there is an abundance of healers around you, and I'm sure you'll find the right one for yourself. And today I have such a right healer with me today and has helped so many people find the root cause of their disease and help them heal. So I have the very lovely Victoria Andarsia with me today, and her story is so interesting that it left me in complete awe. Actually, her healing journey started when she had a meltdown in residency. Yeah, she is a doctor. And when she spent a month in Arizona with energy healers and improving her lifestyle and spiritual energy, when she was hit by something really bad in her life, she was dabbled with energy medicine, worked with shamans, and came back with an understanding that medicine was less about pharmaceuticals and more about how we interacted with the world around us. Eventually, her goal became to help people see the same. She started making people realize that medicine is how we eat, think, feel, our relationship. And the list just goes on and on. There's no one pill solution to our problems, is what she says. And oh God, how can I cannot agree more with her. Let's welcome her and see how she helps people heal their chronic diseases from their very roots and unlearn as we learn from her. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to Learning and Learning. It is such a blessing and an absolute honor to have you with me today. You're already giving me such positive vibes just by your very presence. So welcome to my podcast. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you so much. I'm actually doing very well today. I've been looking forward to this for days, so I'm glad that we're finally able to connect.
Lovely, lovely. Tell us something about you. What made you pursue this career, Victoria? How did you unlearn only to learn that most chronic diseases could be improved by addressing the root cause?
So that started for me in residency. You know, you go through medical school and you're learning all the basic sciences. And when I got to residency, it was kind of disheartening because I didn't really feel like I was helping people. So I felt like something was missing. I don't think I knew then what was missing. You know, I started doing some research. How do I talk to my patients about lifestyle? How do I talk to them about nutrition and things that I was interested in? And then by accident, I fell into integrative medicine. I found the website from Andrew Weil, University of Arizona, and I ended up going there my second year of residency. And that's when it clicked, because we spoke so much about nutrition, you know, how it affects the gut, energy, right? Like energy medicine. We learned about Ayurveda. We learned about traditional Chinese medicine. And there was just so much knowledge out there that I realized was missing in conventional medicine, right? And it doesn't mean that one way is wrong or one is right, but I think that you have to look at all those things and put them together to help people. And so, you know, that's how I got into that. Also, personally for me during residency, I was having a lot of issues with anxiety, like very bad. And when this started happening, you know, I was like, okay, I need to go talk to someone. But I realized, like, for me, I was like, but I don't want to be on medication, right? So then I started searching for my why. Like, why am I having this, like, issue with anxiety? And so for, I think it was a lot of personal development that happened after that, because I went on this search, okay, like, what's causing this anxiety? Let me get to the root. Let me talk it out. And then when I realized that, like, dealing with these things that I wasn't dealing with actually, like, helped. I don't have anxiety anymore. I don't consider myself an anxious person. That wouldn't have happened if I had just taken a pill. And so that's what I try to work on with my clients as well.
Yeah, lovely. I mean, when I was describing your credentials and education right now, I realized how genuine your concern and care for your patients was and how you brilliantly connected your personal experience with your career, because you were willing to dig in deep and question what was causing them all these diseases in the first place. And I wonder how many doctors are out there who know this fact that they won't be able to treat their patients at all completely just with medicines, and they're living with this truth with no answers at all. I mean, I know there exist doctors who don't have a speck of an idea what functional and integrative medicine is. It is a pity that med school doesn't focus on this topic enough, right?
Oh, absolutely not. And that's what I, you know, I tell my clients, because I went through the conventional training, right? And I, you know, I even worked in hospitals. But I think that I don't fault anyone for not knowing this, because everything that I know, I learned after medical school, I learned after residency, and it was because I was curious to go looking for it. So when people say, oh, well, my doctor never ordered this test, or my doctor didn't tell me that, I'm like, okay, you know, there's other information available, and this is what I'm presenting mm-hmm. to you.
Right. I mean, how unaware they are when they graduate about, you know, these doctors, about how hormones, stress, sleep and such things can be such a game changer in one's health when not taken care of. And all these end up forming the root concerns of so many diseases. Right. So I appreciate that you took a step forward for your patients, clients and also yourself and found the answers to your questions. It's so amazing, Victoria. I'm sure that you were chosen to do this and your kindness is appreciated. And thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thank you. It's been very fulfilling for me too. I have Absolutely. A lot more joy doing the root cause medicine versus, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, conventional medicine is good and it has its good parts, but for me, yeah. it was more stressful. And also you have such a short window to see people and talk to people, but with my practice, you can build relationships with people,
right.
you know, and then you get to know about them, about their family, about what's going on. And mm-hmm. that helps me, you know, help them more versus just like looking at one problem, because like one person is like right. not one problem. That one problem has like multiple reasons behind it. So you have to get to right. know your patients. So for me, it's been a lot of fun, actually. And I'm learning every day more and more about this stuff.
That's amazing. So, Victoria, we both know that all chronic diseases arise from the gut, right? Depression, diabetes, migraines, obesity, arthritis, autism, and the list just goes on. And it all just starts with the gut. And unfortunately, in traditional medicine, leaky gut is not even a thing. And even though there is so much research approving this, like doctors are not able to recognize it, that there's this huge gap between what is written in scripts and what is practiced in real life. So what is that we're not able to recognize, that our gut is the center of our health? As in, we both, the patients and doctors, you know, why are quick fixes and medicinal approach still the way to go about it? Why aren't doctors aware that the combination of food and medicine can do wonders on chronic diseases? Like, I have almost never come across a doctor who has advised some food and dietary changes to a person who has autism or arthritis or depression or even blood pressure issues. So why is this gap that is existing?
Well, I think first off, we don't learn, I mean, very, very few med schools teach nutrition. But I think that the other part too is that in residency, I went to a conference on my own, you know, and I heard the word microbiome for the first time. So mm-hmm. I think that now there's a lot more data and information coming out on the importance of the microbiome, and we're still just scratching the surface, and there's going to be so much more information that comes out. But yeah. I think that we're realizing now how the things that you eat are feeding your gut bacteria. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when anytime that you eat, you're thinking you're not just feeding yourself, you're feeding your gut bacteria as well. And that could be towards a positive way or the negative way as well. Right. So I think that that gap is missing because it was never taught and it was also new. And, you know, functional medicine has always focused on that. We just have more information now. Like, one of my favorite things to do are stool studies on my patients, because you can get the information, like, do they have parasites, yeast overgrowth, or are they out of balance, like the positive bacteria versus the negative bacteria. And when I look at that, I can even say, like, you're eating too little fiber. If you increase your fiber intake, this will help. But also, mm-hmm. like, people who have, like, you know, irritable bowel, or if they say they have a lot of bloating, constipation, when you look at that, you can see the imbalance of bacteria. And that is why your gut is so important. And we don't realize that when you're eating, you're not just feeding yourself, you're feeding these bacteria. And so you're correct, because in the gut, if you have an imbalance, it can cause a lot of inflammation that can worsen arthritis. You can also have imbalances that, like you mentioned, you know, unfortunately, I'm sure there's many reasons for autism, but there are some studies that show that if you work to correct the gut imbalances in children with autism, you can improve their behavior, their social interactions. And they actually do suffer quite often from chronic gut issues like pain, constipation.
Yeah.
And so when you mm-hmm. work on the gut, you can help them. Very interestingly mm-hmm. as well, is there have been studies for like Parkinson's and dementia also showing
yeah.
that if you improve the gut, you improve the symptoms associated with the disease, right? There's like so many things. And even people who have said, you know, I've met multiple people who say, I've cured my autoimmune disease. They did that by focusing on the gut, right? So, and I also think that one of the elements aside from nutrition, and this is to no fault of our own, I think it's just an unfortunate situation with the environment that we're living in, is the amount of toxins that are present in our environment, and we don't even know,
right?
Mm-hmm. You might think that you're doing all the right things, but we're exposed to so many environmental toxins that can be disruptive to our gut.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's just like that's not something that we learn in medical school. This is something that's also more and more information is coming out about it now.
Right.
So, and I remember Dr. Mike Hyman, he's like one of my favorite functional medicine doctors. And he even says that there's a gap, but like he says 10 to 15 years, maybe even more. I hope it's not more, but 10 years, let's say, between what you learn in residency and what the current data is. So you're not even learning the most current data or information when you're in med school. You're still a couple years behind because it takes so long for this. The information is coming out so fast and then it takes a while for it to catch up. So even if you're in medical school right now, you're probably not even learning about this.
Yeah, I mean, after all of this, you know, I've started to think, is it difficult to trust doctors with our treatments? I mean, with all of this birth control thing that's going on, you know, so many gynecologists trying to just, you know, shut off the symptoms just by prescribing birth control, or maybe just quick fixes that the doctors are prescribing. Should we, like, how do we analyze if this doctor is right for us? How do we analyze that this treatment is right for us?
I mean, ultimately, I think that we have to make our own medical decisions, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be informed. And unfortunately, I've run into cases where people don't even know why they're taking certain medications or what the medication is for. I think you have to be very empowered. You know, I think that doctors mean well. And even the birth control thing, you know, I talk about that a lot, but I learned that same way. You know, you have this symptom, take the birth control. And you also, they only have like 10 or 15 minutes to see each patient, right? That doesn't leave like a lot of time for conversations and dialogues about like, you know, what is the reason that you want the birth control? Is it for contraceptive reasons? Because if that's, you know, anti-contraceptives, then I think that's fine. But if you, you know, have it for some imbalance that's going on, that's where you have to have a further conversation. For me personally, I always encourage people to see like functional medicine practitioners. I will always consider like, oh, you have pain, maybe acupuncture. If I'm Ayurveda is great as far as how they, you know, use the spices and the food for, you know, certain things. I think you have to just kind of put all those things together and see what's important for you. If I have like a really bad rash that breaks out suddenly and it's very uncomfortable, I'll go to the dermatologist, right? Ultimately, I want to find out why I got that rash and what's going on. So then I'll go the other way. But I think it depends on what you want. If you, you know, say, I want to change my lifestyle and I want to lose weight and be healthier, you might need more than your primary care doctor, because as well-meaning as they are, you only have 10, 15 minutes with your primary care doctor. So who are you going to go to that has the time and the resources to help you? I think it depends on what you want. Some people do want quick fixes, you know, and I see that too, and that's fine.
Absolutely.
You're not really fixing that. But for people who are like, you know what, I want to know why, and you're asking why, I think you need to go to another practitioner. I've met really great acupuncturists, right? People who combine acupuncture with a traditional Chinese medicine. Like, for certain things, those are the people I'm going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just, it just depends on what you want and where your values lie as far as what your health concerns are.
I absolutely agree with you, simply because people look for a band-aid quick fix rather than seemingly long strides of patience and discipline and consistency in personal responsibility. It is fueling the pharma industry to just feed us with exactly what we want but don't actually need. But yeah, I don't think the doctors are to be blamed here. It is just something that they're doing what they're taught, right? I don't think that we can blame them in any reason, but it just comes down to us, right? What we are trusting, what we want with ourselves. I absolutely agree. I guess lifestyle changes don't fit with the world of instant gratification that people have built around them so comfortably. And for example, you know, if somebody is having digestive issues and like bloating, constipation, they go to the doctor and the doctor is, you know, just they're not knowing what is actually happening. You know, if the person is actually eating junk food for the past 10, 15 years of their lives, if they're not even making real food for themselves, they are only taking packaged food and heating it up in the microwave and having it. So how is the doctor even supposed to fix it, right? They are like prescribing laxatives to that person. And then what does the laxative do? It does fix the digestive issue. It does fix the poop. But then what happens? The body gets addictive to the laxative. But the doctor is not to be blamed, because you were the one who were looking for quick fixes. And then as a result, you lost weight because of the appetite loss. And then you're feeling weak and tired and sad. And then it leads to depression. And it's just a myriad of issues that goes on and on and on. Right? So, you know, like leaky gut, dysbiosis, which is like the disruption and imbalance of our gut microbiome, which is so elemental to all of the diseases I just mentioned. It is so hard for people to understand that every bite that they're going to take is going to matter. I mean, funny story, this podcast was to be named All Bites Matter initially. And I decided on learning unlearning later on, that change was because I realized that it's not just food, you know, but our habits also that make so much difference. Our mentality, our spiritual beliefs, our regimes, our routines, and so much more that has more control than we could ever decipher. And you know what? I can understand why a doctor would not recommend the exact dietary changes that a patient needs to make. But at least I think a slight suggestion or a recommendation that one should be under a nutritionist going through a chronic disease won't hurt, right? I mean, that's because I think I've seen doctors really giving generalized diet plans to their patients. Like stick to, of course, while consultation, they tell their patients like you should stick to home food, don't eat this, don't eat that. But I think it is more bio-individual, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's bio-individual. I mean, I think one of the things that we need to be, you know, worried about are the trends. Yeah. Keto, everyone wants to do keto. Intermittent fasting, everyone wants to do intermittent fasting. But you do have to consider like what's going on in your body and what your needs are specifically. I think that the ultimate practice, right, would be the doctor, you have a nutritionist, and then you have a health coach. Because the doctor is going to give you recommendations, but, you know, they don't have like hours to talk to you. You have a nutritionist and then the health coach to help you implement the plan. That would be the ideal practice setting, because you do need all those things to change your habits, to change your lifestyle and your nutrition, because even your lifestyle affects how you digest food. Which is crazy. Absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, I didn't realize until I started doing this, but the higher your stress levels are, right? You're always stressed out, anxious, stressed all the time. When you're in fight or flight, you're not making stomach acid. So you can't even properly digest your food.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you need to talk to your patients about relaxing, you know, trying to tone it down, relaxation techniques, breath work, whatever it takes to get them to tone it down, because that too affects your digestion, right? It's not just the food. It's also the chemicals. It's your stress levels. It's so many things that will impact your digestion. So, you know, you're right. Like you do have to look at all these things, and it's learning and unlearning how you have previously done things, because it might not be beneficial. And even for me, like it's something that I'm constantly learning for myself as well. You know, because you like go through medical school and you go through residency and you're like a machine and you're just going all the time. And then now when I have time, I'm like sitting back and I'm like, okay, well, that's probably not healthy anymore. Let me like tone it down here. Let me turn it down there. And life is constantly going to be a process of shifting to make things work for you.
That's beautiful, Victoria. I love that. So, you know, we both know that finding the root cause is literally like a treasure hunt, right? You know, we have to dig in inside the person's life right from the beginning and that start, and then start figuring out what went wrong to finally fix it with a beautiful combination of food and medicine. So, Victoria, what are some of the tests that you suggest or you do with your patients to bring up the little percentage of the root cause diseases up to the surface? So how do you measure leaky gut? How do you measure the microbiome in the gut? As you mentioned, the fecal test. So how do you look at the digestive function in the gut so that we know that there is definitely something going wrong?
So the test that I order is the GI map. And if you're looking for leaky gut, you can add zonulin there, because if the zonulin is elevated, then you can tell if someone has leaky gut. I've never seen a normal GI map. And I can tell you that the cool thing about that test too, it tells you about the stomach acid, pancreatic enzymes. It tells you like multiple things that also tell you how your GI system is functioning. So that is usually my go-to. Then the other one that I've been ordering quite often lately is stress hormones, right? Because like the cortisol and you're looking at DHEA, because that can affect your other hormones, right? If you're constantly stressed, and I say it all the time, and people are probably going to be tired of listening to me, but your body is going to prioritize survival over sex hormones. So when someone is, you know, has problems with their thyroid or problems with their female or male hormones, you got to look at the stress hormones and see if that's what's impacting that. Because if you make lifestyle changes on your stress hormones, then you can correct the sex hormones, you know, the stress and the sex hormones. Because if I'm just going to give a guy testosterone because his testosterone is low, but I didn't correct the problem that was, you know, upstream before that, I'm not really helping him. So that I've been ordering a lot too. But I think it also comes down to like what else is going on. I find that sometimes it's not just like doing those tests are very helpful, but there's like another like psychological lifestyle stress or even a traumatic event that is underlying the current issue.
Emotional burdens and traumas, right? I think emotional pain can also bring up a lot of physical symptoms.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, last week I met with a pelvic therapist. So she does pelvic therapy for men and women. And it was a really interesting conversation because I think it's something that we'll continue to realize more is how your body stores trauma, right? And you know, it can store it anywhere and it can store it in the pelvic regions. And she even talked about how she does visceral manipulation and she can feel like energy shift when she does that. And like, this is like, she's a doctor of like physical therapy. So she went to conventional training, but even she realizes how when she's doing these things, it can lead to healing. So one of the things that's very delicate is when I'm working with people, I can kind of feel and sense when they're talking to me, there is something else here. So I will order the test and I will work on the stuff I can handle. But then sometimes it's a matter of like, hey, let me refer you to this person because I know that there is something else underlying and that might not be something that I can do, but I can get you to the right person. Yeah. The other thing that I think we're missing in conventional medicine is energy, like energy work in itself.
Yeah, so important.
So important, right? Because we are not just like a physical human. There is an energetic component to us as well. There's the spiritual component. There's all these things that you have to look at. And, you know, I kind of, you have to build a relationship with your clients. I'm not going to sit down with my client the first day and be like, hey, you need to work with an energy healer, because not everyone is going to be ready to hear that.
I mean, not many people even start to believe it, you know, just have to work with it and ease your patient into it.
Exactly.
Sometimes it just comes as a shock, you know, what is this energy thing? I mean, I'm not used to this. Like, you know, it can actually come off as, for example, if I'm going to a person and a person is telling me about a nutrition or a functional healer is telling me about all these energy tests, I might even think if this is this functional trainer even right for me? You know, you start to doubt your nutritionist, right? But you just have to trust them with all your heart, I must say.
Well, and you just build the relationship. And I think to kind of put it, when I was in residency in medical school, I wasn't really like a believer in that stuff, you know, because I was just like, okay, well, if it's not in my textbook, it probably doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But when I went to Arizona and I was there for a month, it was the most healing month that I could have ever experienced. And it was all the stuff. It was like, we did a lot of energy work and I went to Sedona and I worked with energy workers over there. And it was so life-changing for me. And there were things that happened that I could not explain that I was like, okay, it's not for everybody, but there is something here. Right?
It's so beautiful.
So I think it's, you know, yes, I can do all these tests, but there's always a little bit more, you know? And that's why building a relationship is really important.
Sure, I agree with that so much. You know, I had a guest on my podcast a few months ago, and, you know, she just had a breakup like 5 to 6 years ago. And when she went to, you know, such meditative healers and emotional healers, she kind of felt something heavy and something, you know, energy binding in her shoulders. And she touched it and gave her a massage and released it. And all of her back pain, shoulder pain, and so many symptoms that were just related with the pain in her body was gone. She was suffering through Lyme disease and fibromyalgia at that time. And it was so difficult for her, but that just one healing session had changed so much for her. And that was the time also that when she started believing that all this stuff exists, you know, our body does store trauma and that energy healing does help us, you know, for our physical symptoms, not just depression and mental health issues. It can also be connected to our physical issues. So it is always such an enlightening experience for somebody who does not believe in such things. But I agree with you so much that not only just these tests, but, you know, our energy also plays a big role in how we're feeling on a daily basis. That is amazing. Victoria, but what about HTMA tests? I've heard a lot about these tests. And this is not available in India, but I've seen a lot of nutritionists and my past guests talk about these tests. So do you know about it? Do you use it in your practice?
Is that the hair testing?
Is the hair testing. Yeah, it is.
So I've seen that. I don't use that. I don't really use that. So if I wanted to look at the like nutritional, right? Because I think that's what they're using it for, like the what's missing nutritionally. I use something called so it's the Nutra Eval test, and it can look mm-hmm. at the minerals, vitamins, nutrients, omegas, because it also looks at your toxic loads. Because I think it's important to put those two together. And I mean, it's what I've learned how to use. I haven't learned how to use those, but I think it's cool because when you see that, you can see what your deficiencies are. And then the test also gives you what food you can eat to supplement to get that nutrient, right? Versus just like, here's a pill. No, these are the mm-hmm. foods that you should be eating. But when you look at the toxins as well, because it shows you if you're, let's say you're taking magnesium as a supplement and you're taking it every day, but it's still low on that test, it shows you what toxins are inhibiting your absorption of magnesium. Mm-hmm. And you can see if your toxins are high. So for example, like magnesium, lead, aluminum, like those would be toxins that are kind of like blocking certain pathways. And if it's high, then you can say, okay, we need to detox you from these pathways so that you can start absorbing these things better. So that's what I use. I haven't used that hair testing. I was just gonna say that the test looks at your urine, plasma, and whole blood, so it's looking like at all that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, all this is so important because, you know, what I've heard is that this hair testing shows a lot of minerals and mineral content in your body. But, you know, as contrast to when we are finding these tests out through our blood test, it actually shows inaccurate results, right? Because there is a lot of difference in what our hair test and blood test can show. There is a lot of research on how inaccurate our minerals are in our blood. As opposed to in our hair test. So there's a lot of misinformation around this, at least in my country, I know. And HTMA tests are not even available in India. So that is actually the very sad part because I'm aware that a lot of nutritionists in India want to use this test for their patients because it can tell so much, right? It can look at minerals, metabolism on a cellular level, which is basically the king in functional diagnosis. And I think this could be very helpful if somebody, I'm not aware if they have introduced HTMA test right now in India. When I looked it up like a few months ago, it was not. So it is something that I think is necessary, at least in this country. And a GI map test is something that I'm definitely aware about because what my nutritionist told me earlier that it is an access, like a good gives an access to our balance of good and bad bacteria, so our gut mm-hmm. microbiome, right? And then what kind of inflammation we are having in our body, right?
Right. And based off of the strains that you can see, it can tell you, you know, if what symptoms it can be causing.
Yeah, and then the food sensitivities, allergies, and as you mentioned, like pathogens and opportunistic bacteria, and hormone imbalances and window into our digestion efficiency. So much can be discovered through these tests, and I think these are so amazing, but not used in traditional medicine, right?
No, and unfortunately, I mean, here in this in the States, some states will cover them depending on your diagnosis. But at least in Florida, where I am, insurance will not cover these tests, which is a shame because they're pretty expensive. So that means that they're not going to be accessible for people who might benefit from them. But they give you so much information. And I think that when, at least for me personally, when I see the data, it's easier for me to make changes because I can say, oh, wow, like I can actually see the results of my actions. If I, you know,
Exactly.
and so I think that for patients, that's also important because you might say like eat healthy, but if everything comes back fine and they're like, okay, whatever, they don't make the change. But if I show them their GI map test or their hormone testing, and I say like this is what's happening right now, and this is what you need to do to change it, I think they're going to be more likely to change it.
Yeah, I agree. So this was brilliant information, Victoria. I think our listeners are going to be informed about this very thing is, I think, amazing. And so now to the part where we start healing things, right? Now you know everything about the patient. Now you have formed a connection with the patient. And where do you start with? Like, is it the history that you start with? Can you describe how one should explore a patient's history to understand root cause of their disease?
Yeah, so it depends what they're coming to me with, how deep we dive, right? But I do think that it's important to start from the beginning, right? We had mentioned before when we were talking about the importance of not just like, oh, right now you have stomach pain, right? And then they'll give you like a vague story of like what's happening right now. But I think that if you start from the beginning, you can start with childhood. Were you a vaginal or a C-section? Why is that important? Well, because a vaginal delivery, you'll have a healthier microbiome from going through the vaginal canal versus C-section. Breastfeeding as well also contributes to the health of your microbiome. Did you get a lot of antibiotics as a kid? Because that's going to be super disruptive to your gut microbiome. Did you have allergies? Were you a sickly, kid? Or were you like a healthy child? It's just like all these things will play into your health right now, so you have to ask those questions. So we go through that usually, the first thing before we order tests. I just kind of like to go in, assess from the beginning of what's going on with them, and then they'll even tell you like this. They're probably coming to you right now about one problem, but they may have had the same issue in college, right? And you're like, oh, that's interesting. What happened in college? Or even when I ask patients, okay, what do you think triggered X, Y, and Z? They can sometimes tell you, like, oh, you know what? Like, I had a really bad breakup when that happened, or we had just moved when this happened. Like, so it's really important to get those details because sometimes, like we just mentioned, like emotional things will trigger something, or they just moved into a house and maybe the house had mold. I don't know. You need to know like all these things. So getting a good history is the first part. We'll do lab testing usually, and then we start working on lifestyle changes. Obviously, you don't want to overwhelm people, so I'm not going to tell them to do like 20 different things. But a lot of times I say, what can you add? I don't want people to feel like super restricted at the beginning, but what can you add to your diet that is going to help? Right. And then, unless they're like drinking soda and eating fast food every day, then, we have a lot more to work on. But a lot of times the people who come to me already have like a somewhat healthy lifestyle. They just need a little bit extra help. So we'll focus on that. And then we'll do like lifestyle changes, right? And we'll start talking. What are the things that you can just change if you're very stressed out? Find a lot of people don't like meditating, which is fine. I understand that it's very hard for people, but for me, it's been very helpful for managing the anxiety.
Yeah,
So
I agree. Me too.
we'll try breath work, and I'll do breath work with them because it's active and you're counting, so it feels less weird. So that's something I recommend to a lot of clients, and it's so funny because I'll do it with them sometimes at the end of a call, and you don't know how many times that makes them so uncomfortable. Because people don't take the time to like be quiet. So it's interesting. My approach with people is we start with nutrition because it's the easiest thing and that's what they're expecting. They get really weirded out when I talk to them about the breath work, but they end up doing it, at least I hope they're doing it. And then you just start working on certain things, right? Because it's like all lifestyle based. And like I said, after like two or three visits, if I feel like they do need to have an appointment with someone else, then that'll be kind of a conversation. Cause at that point we know each other well, we have the information that we needed for my part. Right. So while they're working on that, they can see someone else to help supplement. Because by the time that you get to the point, at least for some of the clients that I have, this has been going on for years and years. You know, so yes, I can help you, but it wasn't one thing that caused this. It was probably multiple things. So that's why you need to have like different practitioners. So visit two or three, once we're comfortable, they've already started implementing and they feel better, then we can say, okay, let's take it to the next step. And the next step is you see this person or you're going to see that person. And then we kind of take it from there. But nutrition is usually the first place to start.
Yeah, Victoria, you have mentioned so many amazing things. I just want to address them one by one. The first thing, when you said that, you know, you have to start with C-section or vaginal delivery, I think that is so elemental. I think there is so much research whether C-section and vaginal delivery can have an impact on the baby's microbiome and their resistance to so many diseases, because when the baby is passing through the vaginal canal, I think it picks up a lot of bacteria, which is really healthy when they are growing up, right? And also like formula milk or breast milk at the early ages, like till 2 to 4 years of their age, I think it's very, very important to address that. Completely agree. And there's an interesting thing that I also remember is that, you know, I see a lot of girls who are trying to you know, analyze whether their period cycles are normal or not. So a girl is having a 22 to 24 day cycle and another is having like 31 day cycle. So they're trying to figure out like which one of is it normal. You know, when you look it up on Google or when you go to a doctor, they're usually going to tell you that any range between 22 to 30 is fine. You know, it's normal. But what I think is that is connected with how your mother and grandmother's periods were when they were at their age. So, you know, a lot of nutritionists do recommend that you have to look at the periods that your mother and grandmother went through and then connect it what you are going through. So I think that history, that part of the history, is also something that could really help our listeners and patients. And what you mentioned about antibiotics, absolutely spot on, because I am currently going through an irritated bowel syndrome. And the reason of that is exactly what stress and antibiotics did to me. I have taken a lot of antibiotics in my teen years and also before teen years. In my early ages of childhood, I have taken a whole lot of antibiotics. And it was not until this past year that I realized that all of these antibiotics has done so much damage to my microbiome that it has almost become irreversible. But I've made so many lifestyle and dietary changes that is slowly coming back on track. But the episodes look really worse for me a year or 2 years ago. And I completely agree when you said that stress and all can also make a huge impact, because I didn't know that my IBS existed in my school and high school and college years as well. But it was not until that the stress aggravated and showed it up so much that, you know, there was blood and piles and anal fissures and hemorrhoids all over. So all of this combined, and then I realized that, okay, you know, this is happening. I went to a doctor and the doctor told me, you're having IBS. So I was having problem in digestion all my life, but it was not until that the stress is what brought it up. So my body was not able to take it anymore. And then it just broke down. The system just broke down. So I think this, you know, I would have never found it out if I hadn't just dug up into my history and known that, you know what, this is what caused it. The antibiotics were the reason. So I mean, my body couldn't take it anymore. And then it created some kind of disease. And I think this is why, you know, mapping out and retreating my steps back, finding out how this happened is so important, because I'm sure the traditional medical doctor does not have so much time to do this. And that's why amazing people like you exist. And that is absolutely amazing.
I'm glad that you're feeling better, because it sounds like a lot to go through. But definitely, I mean, you have to, like we mentioned at the beginning, you have to kind of be responsible for your own healing and your own health. And I'm glad that you were able to trace that back. But one of the things that you said that I thought was interesting is, you know, you always had issues with digestion, and then it wasn't until like it, you know, got really bad that you went and got help. But this is something that I find very often, is that people don't realize how good they can feel until they start feeling good, right? Because so the symptoms that you were having, right, were not normal ever, probably.
I couldn't agree more, Victoria.
Yeah, but you got used to it, and that was your normal. But then until you start feeling better, then you don't realize that that wasn't okay.
Yeah, I feel this so much, Victoria, because, you know, when I made those lifestyle changes myself and when I started to feel better, you know, there were people around me that I was trying to convince, you know, like, you don't do this. I think what you're feeling is not normal. You need to make this change. But, you know, they were so comfortable in their own, you know, circumstance that they were not willing to make, or they were feeling that there is no better situation or a feeling that exists than that. And it took me so much effort and energy to convince them to do this and try that. But, you know, no one really listened to me and believed me. And then I finally realized that it is all in vain and it's no use until they experience what it's going to feel like. I don't think they're ever going to realize that there exists a better situation, a better feeling, a better health scenario for them. Yeah. And I think it's only when they are actually feeling it is one of the main reasons I started this podcast, you know. I'm nowhere related to this nutrition field. I'm a pursuing engineer right now. But, you know, this is what I went through. And I just want people to know, I just want my audience and the population to know that it is very much possible to make these changes and feel better every single day. And I agree with the point when you said earlier that, you know, people just get afraid with these lifestyle changes, you know, sudden lifestyle changes, and it's too much for them. And what they're expecting, when I say to somebody that I am referring to a dietitian, or maybe I'm seeing a dietitian, what they think, but what they suddenly related to, like sudden, it's almost immediate, is weight loss. Like if a person is, you know, referring to a dietitian, is almost always like, oh my God, are you trying to lose weight? You look okay. Why are you trying to lose a weight? Why do you need a dietitian? But yeah. You know, what the dietitian is going to do is they don't control your calories or food intake amount, as far as it's not the problem is not with the weight. But what they really do is they just introduce a diversity of food in your gut that really suits you, something that is nourishing and healing. And if you was someone with a very toxic gut, a nutritionist might want to clean everything out first, like detox it, and then go with increasing the microbiome diversity in the gut, which is unfortunate that it might be impossible to repopulate the microbiome in the gut once disrupted extremely badly. But I had come across this research on fecal transplant, and it sounds gross, but it is amazing how many diseases get controlled by this very simple change. I mean, I read these researches about people with diabetes, you know, getting better, and also autism and depression with just this fecal transplant. And it seems so weird, but I am so happy that there's so much improvement in research going on all around the microbiome, because it is something that I am going through, and I feel really happy when such research shows up.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that. I actually gave a chat on, and the fecal transplants were included in there, but I put it in there because it highlights how important and how connected these things are, because you're absolutely right. And for as far as the depression goes, like 95% of serotonin is made in your gut, right?
Yeah.
So if you have gut bacteria that supports that, then you're going to feel happy, versus if you have a lot of inflammation, you're going to feel, you know, kind of crappy. But yeah, fecal transplants, I feel like we're just at the beginning with that. Those were research studies, because I've read some of those too. Right now, the only like conventional medicine reason to get one would be if you have like C. diff, which is a hospital acquired or antibiotic associated infection. I think that that's going to be changing as well, because it's all related. And, you know, I think that it doesn't even matter how far your dysbiosis is. I think that there is always room for improvement. especially if you use herbs that can help with like cleaning your gut. Like oregano is a really good one, right? And you can even find it in capsules that kind of helps eliminate, because you're not going to take antibiotics to get rid of dysbiosis. That's just going to defeats the purpose. So you want to use like natural things that are going to help with the dysbiosis. And then what you mentioned, we call an elimination diet as far as removing toxic things from your food. And an elimination diet is something that like, I work with a health coach and she can help people work through that. But you're eliminating foods that are going to cause inflammation in the gut. And that does two things. One, it gives your body a couple weeks to kind of relax for the inflammation to go down. Exactly. But then when you start reintroducing foods, you might find the food that triggers you because you're introducing them one at a time, a couple days in between, you know, like separate. Right. So if you go 3 weeks and you feel great and you feel wonderful, and then all of a sudden you have, I don't know, like you're eating gluten again, and then you feel that inflammation in your body, then now you're learning, okay, well, I probably shouldn't eat gluten right now. Yeah. You know, but it's also like a good way of like getting to know what your triggers are, because I feel like a lot of times people don't even realize because, again, they're just used to feeling how they feel.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that you bring this up. I had just remembered about the salt wound analogy. So I don't know about you, if you know about this, but I had a guest on my podcast. She was my first guest. Her name is Ankita Srivastava, and she's a practicing nutritionist. And she very interestingly mentioned this beautiful analogy that that always helps me so much. So imagine that you have a wound on your hand and you're putting salt on it. So it's obviously going to hurt, right? But you're putting the same salt on the normal part of your hand, which does not have a wound, and it's not going to hurt. So what you decipher from this, it's there's no problem with the salt, but it's actually a problem with your hand that is having the wound. So it's not the problem with the food when the quality is good and it's all good. It's actually your body that needs to heal to absorb and assimilate it well. Right. And this has helped me so much to recognize it's not actually the food that is wrong. It's my body that is not able to take it. It's my body that is sensitive and allergic to it. And once I started practicing an elimination diet and found out that, okay, these food items are not suiting me, when I reintroduce them back after giving my body certain space to heal, I realized that I have stopped being sensitive to these food items.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So my allergy, my sensitivities, they were just all vanished. So the food I was highly sensitive to earlier, I'm just not now. So when I give my body that space to heal and that energy and the nourishing food items that I'm putting inside my body to heal, I think my body got the sign that, okay, now this is the time when you reintroduce those foods, and my body just did not react to that. And that was a beautiful feeling. I was so shocked, and it was so nice. I can't explain that feeling.
No, and that's an excellent, excellent point, is that people do sensitivity testing sometimes and they'll be like, oh, I'm sensitive to this, and they'll never eat it again. But that's not the point, right? Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you mentioned. It's giving your body time to heal from the things that cause it inflammation, and then trying to reintroduce them, because the sensitivities can change or go away. So that's a really, really good point. And I'm glad that you got to experience that firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that I got to experience it. I'm so grateful for it. And I've heard about these 5 R's of, healing and root cause disease analysis, and that's remove, replace, repopulate, repair, and rebalance. So what we've discussed right now is, I think we've removed, we've replaced, we have repopulated, we have repaired, and finally we are now moving on to rebalancing. So all of this progress that we've made so far, I think maintenance is what takes a lot of energy, right? You know, if a person has lost weight, so maintaining that weight for the rest of their lives, having a sustainable diet, a sustainable routine, is something that is going to make them move forward, right? And also, you know, a stress-free life, and or not, you know, not everybody's life is stress-free. That is not that's idealistic and not possible. But, you know, when you have these ways around you to manage it, You know, when you take the help of these tools like meditation and therapy and all of these things to just, you know, go through it, and you know that your body is going to handle it well. And also, you know, your sleep is amazing. You have amazing people all around you. So how do you suggest your clients, or what is your perspective on rebalancing yourself after you have, you know, fixed yourself with food and nutrition and all of those things?
So as far as rebalancing, and also for repopulate, what you said, we can use probiotics, right? Even if it's just like short term to help kind of speed that process up. But for rebalance, I think it's just like rebalance is your new life, you know? It's not like you're going to get to that stage and you're like, oh, I feel good. And then you're going to go back to what you were doing. Like rebalance now is you're going to continue to eat the way that you've been eating. Right. Adding the phytonutrients and healthy fats and whatever it is that you need, but avoiding toxins, alcohol, you know, excessive alcohol and food that's highly processed. Yeah. That's like the rebalance phase. Is just you continue with these, you know, ways of living. I also think that we underuse spices and herbs. Completely underuse those, but herbs are very important for your gut as well. They can help with that, keeping the bad bacteria at bay and with thriving healthy bacteria. So I think that's one of the things that I've taught in the past, like I do like online lectures and is that that's an easy way to cheat your way into a healthy gut. Even people, you know, fiber is super neglected. People don't need enough fiber. So just like you can sneak a scoop of fiber into something that you're eating, right? Or a shake in the morning. So yeah, I would say the rebalance part is just getting used to the new way of living.
I lost you for a lot of seconds there, Victoria. You just froze over there.
Okay. I don't know what I was saying, but basically I was
saying okay, you're frozen
that
again
the
now.
Rebalance now I'm starting part to worry. Is about the lifestyle. Can you see me or hear me now?
Yeah, I lost you again. Yeah, I can tell you where you need to continue from. I know where I stopped hearing you.
Okay, where was that?
You were just mentioning about the phytonutrients and you know, all these nutrient deficiencies that people go through, and then moving on from there.
Oh, okay. So yeah, when we're rebalancing, it's just about adding the phytonutrients, herbs, spices, and things that are going to help nourish your gut and just maintaining that. It's basically the maintaining phase.
Yeah. And you were also talking about the herbs, you know, why we underestimate all the herbs and spices.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, even like I mentioned earlier, like oregano is really good for helping suppress the bad bacteria in your gut. I actually use that a lot when we're trying to balance things out again. But it's so easy, right? Like you can add parsley to this, basil to that. Like it's such an easy thing to use. And then the spices. Spices have so much like the antioxidants and health benefits. And we don't like all we use is salt. I mean, well, in America, I know you guys are very good with your spices in India, but here, like you just use salt and pepper.
I was just going to mention that. Yeah. It's something.
So I think that that's like also like something to teach people, because it's an easy way to cheat your way to health benefits.
Yeah, I completely agree about when you said about probiotics and prebiotics. I mean, you know, it was something that changed. It was one of the most cornerstone things in my recovery. You know, when I started including probiotics in my diet, I started noticing so much change into my digestion. And I was noticing, you know, it is very slow change. But yeah, it is very fundamental. And there's something that I think we missed is about heavy metal testing. Victoria, is this something that you notice very common in your clients?
Oh my gosh, heavy metals are terrible. It's terrible because it's so prevalent. It's so prevalent. And that's not my first go-to, right? It's not like I'm not going to jump and just do it right away, because like I said, these tests are not covered by insurance and they're expensive. But I think people would be surprised at how much heavy metals play a role.
Exactly.
And in that Nutri Eval test that I told you about, where you can look at the toxins, the heavy metals come up on there too. And I think that test is kind of limited because it only gives you like a short snapshot. So you wouldn't be able to see the total load. It just gives you like the load over 4 months of these toxins. But I think that that's an important thing to definitely consider, especially like I mentioned, the toxins that are exposed in the environment and in our food. And I mean, mercury is pretty prevalent everywhere. So I do think that that is something that we need to take a look at and consider. I mean, the difficult part is I'm like an online business. So if someone needed to have like chelation therapy for heavy metals, you know, I'd have to, we'd have to find someone who could do it because I, you know, I'm an online business. And it's also, it has to be done correctly because it can be very unsafe, you know? But yeah, heavy metal is super prevalent. When I did my own NutriEval test, my mercury level was through the roof. And I'm like a relatively, you know, I'm like relatively healthy. I take care of myself. I try to eat organic when I can. And there was even something that was present, one of the toxins, it was called MTBE. And that toxin, it was a chemical that was in gasoline. And it was banned 10 years ago. Banned 10 years ago. Also, I rarely like fill up my gas tank. So I don't even know. It was banned 10 years ago. So when I call the company up, I'm like, hey, like I have this, like I wanted to kind of understand a little bit more about the toxins. And they were like, oh, that's been banned for 10 years, but it's now in our groundwater. Like it's in the water now. So I think that people don't realize, right? Like you can do everything right, but there's toxins that we don't even know about that are present in our environment and that can show up in your system.
Oh my God, this is so surprising. I mean, I've known that, you know, mercury is something that, you know, a lot of people have through the roof. I know there are many people who are also taking like iron supplements and, you know, we both know how damaging they can be, you know, right? So, you know, all of these heavy metals just go through the roof. And but I've never heard about this toxin that you just mentioned, and it's so surprising. But I really do know that a lot of people are drinking water that is not fit for them to drink, and that is the reason I think most of the people are now having aqua guards and, you know, water purifiers at their home. But if people are not having them, I'm just really worried about how many toxins are just taking in there, taking it in, right?
Well, yeah, and some of those toxins, they're called like obesogens because they can cause obesity, you know, when they get like overloaded in your system. And then the CDC, because I was reading this to my mom yesterday, came out and they're calling some of these chemicals forever chemicals because now they're like present in our environment and we can't get rid of them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to take and what to give up on. You know, I don't know where these toxins are coming from. Like it could be on this table right now. It could be in the air I'm breathing right now. Like what should I start worrying about? What all should I start worrying about? You know, it can be just a list, you know, it goes on and on and on. Oh, and I think nothing is just completely safe anymore.
No, it's not. And like, I feel like if you go down far, like down the rabbit hole, then you're going to get very paranoid. And that's obviously not a way that we're going to be able to live. I mean, but it is kind of scary when you read about how, you know, ubiquitous these things are.
Yeah.
I think though, what I've gathered and what I've learned is just to make sure that you're detoxifying properly. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you're exercising, you're sweating, that you are, you know, you should be pooping every day, if not multiple times a day. And if you're having issues with constipation, you're holding on to toxins. So you need to work on that. Then you can do like saunas saunas. Donating blood can help you get rid of some of these toxins as well, actually.
Oh, wow. So that's something new.
Yeah, that's something I was reading over the weekend. So there are certain things that you can do to like help your body detoxify, because we're not going to be able to get rid of these toxins in our environment. If you have heavy metal poisoning, then you do need an expert toxicity. You're going to need someone who can help you chelate and get rid of them. But there's other things that are going to be present as well. And you just have to start detoxifying from those. I've started using sauna therapy and I love it. I mean, you can just like slip into, it looks like a sleeping bag, and you like slip into it and then you turn it on and you're in there for like an hour and it's so comfortable. I mean, but you're just like dripping sweat in it. And it's like been the best. Yeah. Because I mean, I work out, but you know, it's not enough. You need to help yourself in as many ways as you can.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, there are so many things apart from heavy metals that can contribute to all this, like EMF sensitivity. And there are so many things that, you know, these things like, you know, mold in the house or metal toxicity or EMF sensitivities, you know, people are unaware about this. I'm not saying even people, because even I am so unaware about this. You know, out of all of the nutrient deficiencies and all of these things, you know, you could never even imagine that you're that there is a mercury overload or EMF sensitivity that is giving you the symptoms that it is giving. There is way without a test, without an actual test, that you can actually figure out that this is what it is causing. It is so unimaginable. It is just beyond our understanding, right?
I mean, I agree. And especially because the EMF thing is coming out. I mean, it's been public. I think publicly it's coming out more and more now. I haven't had any cases where I've dealt with like someone having that, you know, that I know of, but I know when I've heard Dr. Hyman talk about it, as soon as you remove the person from the EMFs, then they start sleeping better or their headaches go away.
So
I think that it's just like, you don't know until you remove yourself from the situation and then you see how
exactly.
But I mean, that's a big one too. And there's just like so many things. And I feel like it's, you can be talking about it forever because it's just, like you said, there are so many things and we're just becoming more and more aware now of how our environment and our lifestyle is like working against us.
Yeah, it just keeps becoming worse every single day. You know, 10 to 15 years ago, I think all of these issues didn't exist. You know, people had a cleaner air, cleaner water, but now all of these issues creeping up, I think there's a lot of new research in all of this. And I think we need to give time to ourselves to adapt to an environment that is not completely safe for us anymore. You know, I think there's going to be a new balance that is going to create, you know, which is not really perfect, but I think it's going to be this new normal for us, right? You know, living in pandemics and all of that.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's true.
It's the truth.
Things have definitely changed. So I think the more knowledge you have, like the more you can do to, you know, counteract or balance whatever is happening in your environment.
Yeah, that's true. This has been so amazing, Victoria. I think I have had a very amazing conversation with you. We've had such amazing points for our listeners and our audience to note down. I'm going to mention your contact details in the show notes. So please, everybody, make sure to check Victoria out. And if you have any problem, you can feel free to reach out to her. I'm going to list down her email and also her Instagram on the show notes. Please make sure you check it out. Victoria, this was so great. I am so grateful that you did this with me. I've had so much fun discussing all of this with you. I think people and my listeners especially need to realize how important the root cause is, because chronic diseases are everywhere around us. My own parents, my grandparents, almost everybody around me is going through some chronic disease or the other. And it's high time that we realize that every chronic disease has a root cause to it, and all of those root causes can be treated with functional medicine. And with amazing people like you all around, I think it's not impossible at all. So thank you so much for being on my podcast. I feel so, so grateful and full of gratitude that you were here with me today.
Oh, thank you so much. You have so much knowledge on this stuff, which was great to talk to you about. And I also had so much fun. So you keep in touch. And if you need anything, you know how to get a hold of me.
Thank you so much, Victoria. That's very sweet of you. For everybody listening, I will have all of the details in the show notes. Please make sure to check it out. And I will see you in the next episode.